But tonight, I believe heaven is asking, who is in your face? That's the title of my message tonight. Who is in your face? In this pay decade we are in, I believe the Lord is releasing fresh and greater measures of his presence in and through those who live in intimate relation with him. You can have as intimate a relationship with the King of Glory as you want. What is sad is most of the body of Christ in the world just wants an hour or 45 minutes on Sunday morning. And that's it. But he says you can have as much of his presence as you want. As many of you are aware, the Hebrew word for face, or the part which turns, is the pay word panim. It makes our face important in this decade. The letter pay is also the Hebrew word for the edge of the face or the mouth. So P-E-Y, the letter pay, is the edge of the face or the mouth. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Amplified Bible reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." This is the relationship Father wants with each of us. No matter where we are, in work or school or play, amen, he wants this relationship with us face to face. He's not a respecter of persons. Moses knew what it meant to be in the face of God. And this is the relationship Father wants. In my business meetings, I got in God's face in the empty conference rooms before everyone else came in and asked him to set the agenda. And I had success. Not my way, not their way, Yahweh. Because I was foolish enough to get in his face. As apostolic and prophetic children of the Most High God, that's who you are. You got a piece, you got all of Jesus, but you got a piece of his character. You are apostolos, you are an apostolic son, you are an apostolic daughter, you are a prophetic son, a prophetic daughter. How many of you have the testimony of Jesus? Everyone in the room. According to Revelation, that means you have the spirit of prophecy. You are a prophetic people. As apostolic and prophetic children of the Most High God, you carry authority and grace that flows from your personal face-to-face relationship with the Lord. Whether you got saved 10 minutes ago during worship or whether you've been saved for 50 plus years, that intimate face-to-face relationship releases authority and grace. Because I have that face-to-face relationship, I understand who he is and whose I am. I am his, and he is mine. It's a song we sing. Without that face-to-face relationship, the enemy whispers doubt and unbelief into your heart. But the more you are face-to-face with him, the less space there is for the accuser of the brethren. The Lord has always desired intimate face-to-face relationship with his sons and daughters so we can carry his presence and release his voice to redeem all creation back to right standing with him. He gives us marching orders every day if we come into a face-to-face relationship with him. It may be just one simple little word he wants you to speak to the person in the cubicle next to you. Or to the person that cut you off in traffic. Not that word. The one he gave you in the face-to-face secret place. So when do you think Father first saw your face? Do you have an idea when Father first saw your face? This side of the room knows. What about this side of the room? I think in the back row they got it too. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there were none of them. Before heaven and earth was created, he wrote a book about you, and he saw exactly how you're going to look. There are no accidents in God's kingdom. He knew exactly where you were going to be, and he wrote a book, and it has no sin in it. When he pulls your book off the shelf because you ask him, what's the next chapter? It's the destiny he has for you before I made all my mistakes. He hasn't changed his mind. And so my prayer for all of you when I pray for you every day is that he will open the next chapter over you and read it over you. But he can read all he wants unless you have a face-to-face relationship with the King of Glory. You're not going to hear what he's saying. From eternity past, Father has seen your face and has desired a face-to-face, personal, and intimate relationship with you so he could rule and reign on the earth through you. You are the one who carries the hope of glory everywhere you go. The Lord God, according to Genesis 2:7, formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. When we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and we insert the meaning of the Hebrew words, so they're not just simple one-word English replacements, we begin to see that Father's DNA has been infused into every part of our body, spirit, soul. Every part of our being, he's infused his DNA. So when we look at that, it would read something like this. Then the Lord God squeezed into shape or molded into form as would a potter, a ruddy human being showing blood in the face from the red dust-like clay from the soil, and puffed hard into his nose and face the vital breath of life, and the ruddy human being became a living being, creature with a soul. Interesting. In forensic science, they say every touch leaves a trace, and he's got his fingerprints all over everyone. His DNA's all over everyone. And not only that, he was the very first person to do CPR. On Adam. And so in his lungs is Father's DNA. Some of you have seen me do this before. I love doing it with a group of little kids. But when Father was creating, and camera people hate it when I do this. When Father was creating, he was out in the wilderness. Read carefully Genesis. Adam was created in the wilderness. And he scooped down, you want to get the hint on what color Adam was? He grabbed the red clay. The first person was red. There goes all of our theologies. And he was molding and shaping and working. And all of the angels watched because they cannot never turn their face away from the Lord. When we get to heaven, you're going to experience dimensions beyond the three that are binding your thinking. And everywhere you turn, God is right in front of you. And so the angels are watching. Oh, it looks just like Creator. And then maybe the Song of Solomon was in the back of Father's mind when he reached down and put his arm under Adam's head and put his right arm around him and went and breathed the breath of life into him. Now the angels are really excited because that piece of dirt was a living, breathing human being. Song of Solomon could have been all about Father's passion to release his authority once again through an intimate relationship with you. Read it from that perspective when you read it. As I was preparing to write this message, I decided to introduce a little bit of a story behind a familiar song. It's familiar at least to my generation. And I won't sing it. When I was 5 years old, as the story goes, Scottish political songwriter Ian McColl was asked by folk singer Peggy Seeger to write a song for the play she was in, and McCall wrote the song and taught it to her over the phone. He was in the U.S., and she was in Great Britain. The song was "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." Many of us have grown up singing this song as part of the romantic hopes and dreams of our lives. This is the girl of my dreams. Well, that's the girl of my dreams. That's what I call her, by the way. But Father has a hope for his sons and daughters very few have fulfilled until now. Part of it is because we've made an idol out of the relationship with the one who created us. Whether it was from fear or whether it was from ignorance, we never did what the word says. Seek me and you will find me. Were you created in his image and likeness? This side of the room was. This side of the room just got the replay. Yes, and his DNA is all over you. If they had, see, all of these DNA tests, by the way, scientifically are only as good as the samples they have of DNA. But if they had Father's DNA, you'd find out that you are my brother, you are my sister. We're all related. We all go back to one of the three sons of Noah, who goes back to Adam and Eve. Well, that will blow the scientists' minds. We tend to understand image, Father, Spirit, Son, more than we do likeness. So let's go back to the beginning for a couple minutes. In Genesis 1:1, the Amplified reads, "In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth." Everything Father created produces after its own kind. He makes no mistakes. A cherry tree doesn't produce almonds. A watermelon plant doesn't produce potatoes. You and I don't produce nematodes. Everything produces after its own kind. Every generation from Adam until Jesus returns is meant to create with our words. Isn't that how Father created everything except you and me? We were the only thing he touched. The only thing he put his DNA into was mankind. As I've mentioned before, the first two words in the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, are Reshith Elohim, not in the beginning God. Reshith, the first in rank, order, priority, and time, Elohim, plural. Father, Spirit, Son. The first in rank, order, priority, and time, Father, Spirit, Son. Everything else in the book flows out of that revelation. And you have been invited to a face-to-face, heart-to-heart, intimate relationship with the Creator of all the universe. For 6 days, Holy Spirit hovered. Father spoke, and Jesus created. You can read the New Testament, and that's what happened. Part of our likeness with God is he put all authority, according to Jesus in Luke 10:19. Part of our likeness is each of us has all authority in the voice of mankind from heaven. When he kissed the earth and Adam became a living soul, he gave us all authority over everything, including Satan, which a lot of people find hard to believe, but that's a completely other topic. You've got all authority, even over Lucifer, who is called Satan. But the key to all authority is to be in agreement with heaven. I only have authority when I do on earth as it is or spoken in heaven. One definition of agreement is the absence of incompatibility between two people or things. The absence of incompatibility between two people or things is agreement. Do you know how hard it is to get two people to agree on anything? Jesus said, if two of us on earth can agree as anything is touching it, it's done. You know why we don't see too many things done? Because we don't have a face-to-face relationship with the Father and realize the one he put next to us also has a face-to-face relationship with the Father. And the three of us, Father, who's in our face, and the two of us can do anything. Incompatibility is the condition of two things being so different in nature they are incapable of coexisting. Light and darkness cannot exist in the same place. As soon as you flip on the light switch, it's no longer dark. But God created us to have intimate fellowship with him so we could rule and reign with him as ambassadors on the earth. This is his desire. His goal, when he took Adam out of the wilderness and put him in Eden, the place of his delight, which is what Eden means, and then he created Eve out of Adam's side, was for us to continually expand the place of his delight and redeem the wilderness. Through the blood of the cross, we are more than ambassadors. We are his daughters and his sons, whom Father gives unrestricted access to his presence when we hold him to be first in rank, order, priority, and time. He is first in my life. You should have seen the look on Casey's face. She said it was an eternity between the statement I'm just going to mean and the mention in the second statement. After our first son died, we wrestled to know who the Lord was. We had been saved years and years before and backslid. And one day, I had been walking with the Lord for a while, and she had been walking with the Lord for a while, and I just sat down because on earth, she's first in my life. And I said, you're not first in my life anymore. And she said it was like 20 minutes before I said, Jesus is. And she said, I've been thinking the same thing too. And we made a rededication. Is he first? For those of you women who have unsaved husbands and those of you men who have unsaved wives, is he first? Because if he is, you will follow the scripture and see that he will honor his word and your spouse will be saved. It's that simple. Someone prayed for me and got me out of the mess I was in. His covenant with you through Christ gives you access and authority to manifest heaven on earth. Jesus' commandment to us was to make heaven take place in the earth, make the earth look just like heaven. I got news for you. He's not coming back till we do our job. And more of the body of Christ is realizing that now. He's not whisking us out to some sweet by and by. The Left Behind movies were the greatest mistake in theology that could have ever been made. Good movies, big mistake, because so many people just did it all wrong. I know one person who just said, I'm going to spend and upload all my credit cards. I'm going to get so much debt because Jesus is going to save me. I said, I got news for you, bro. That ain't going to happen. So how does he do this? Through his DNA in your voice. You know, every time you speak, more than just sound waves go out. Father's covenant with you releases authority so you can stand for Holy Spirit and decree heaven into your spheres of authority in the earth realm. Some people call them the seven mountains. Some call them the seven molders of culture. Whether they're spheres or molders or mountains, he's given you authority in multiple. You're sitting in an example of the religion mountain now. Some of you are sitting as family mountain in the midst of the religion mountain. Most of you are working in the business mountain, some in the government, some in education. Let me ask you a question. Are your decrees conceiving something? Are your decrees conceiving something? Fathers always do. And if you are in his image and likeness, so should yours. They should be birthing breakthrough in your life, your family, your ministry, your business, and in the lives of everyone you pray for. Just as Father's words are creative, our words are meant to create or build. Jesus used the Greek word in Matthew 16, 18. He used the word oikodamo. When you unpack, he said, I will build my church. That Greek word was oikodameo. When you unpack the full meaning of oikodomeo, you find that we are building the kingdom of God with generations. It literally means I will build my church with generations. That's why I love to see the kids in the worship service. Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. No, let them be in their place. Jesus said, let them come. You know what? It becomes a lifestyle for them. Well, when I'm 13, I can go to the big people's church. No, same Holy Spirit draws them at 2 months that draws them at 20 years. Because we are his image and likeness, walking in intimate fellowship and agreement with the Father, the revelation Hosea gave to Isaiah should be routinely manifesting in us. In Isaiah 55:11, in the Amplified, it said, so shall my word, which goes forth out of my mouth, not return to me void without producing any effect or being useless. But it shall accomplish what I please and purpose, and it shall purpose in the thing for which I sent it. When you speak God's word, you should expect it to hit the mark every time. Well, I hope so, Lord. The Hebrew word Isaiah used for return is shub, which is a primitive root word meaning to turn back. Father places faith in you to propel his word from heaven into the earth through you to conceive, birth, and manifest his intended purpose. Amen. That's what an ambassador does, by the way. Takes the authoritative word of the king and speaks it where the king sends him to release it. The word you decree will bear fruit for the King of Kings. The Hebrew word Isaiah used for void is requam. It means ineffectually or unreservedly. It means without cause, empty, in vain, worthless, or void. It's not going to come back without doing what Father said he spoke it to do. Did you ever hear a star say, no way? He spoke them all into existence. He gave them all names. They're all in the proper order. Did you ever hear a star say, no way? No. Because when he spoke, it was created the way he intended it to be. The Hebrew word Isaiah used for void is rekam. Meaning ineffectually, unreservedly, without cause, empty, or in vain. When you are in God's face and decree a thing in God's name, it cannot be negated. You are his signet ring. When the king seals something with his signet ring, it cannot be undone. That decree is finished. Hell cannot stop it. The devil cannot stop it. The governments of man cannot stop it. False religions, including humanism, cannot stop it. Your decree will accomplish the purpose of God on the earth as it has already accomplished in heaven. Your mouth should be the edge of his face in the earth. That's what an ambassador is. And you're more than an ambassador. You are his favorite daughter and you are his favorite son. The Hebrew word Isaiah used for it shall accomplish is asah, meaning to do or to make or to yield out of oneself. This is what God does. He brings out of himself, he creates from within himself with his words. You create the atmosphere you live and walk in with your words. They either activate the angels or they activate the demonic realm. There's no in between. You create with your words. By faith, we understand during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. So what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Hebrews 11:3 in the Amplified. As a chemist, I can relate to this. I took things that were not, that they were visible, to make things that never existed before. The first time I made something, at 2 o'clock in the morning, on the third story of the chemistry building in College Station, Texas. Backslidden as backslidden could be, and I was holding something that mimics your biological systems in your body, never made before. I just said, this has to be God. I think he got my attention. The entire universe, indeed all of creation, came out of God. His words framed it. His words decreed it, described it, and produced its kind. All visible material things were decreed by God to be. See that thumb? I cut that thumb off in 1991, but I started decreeing his word over it. And the sheriff said, you're going to lose that thumb. No, I'm not. God's going to heal that thumb. The rescue squad, you're going to lose that thumb. No, I'm not. The emergency room said, you may lose that thumb. No, I'm not. Long story short, the doctor came in and said, I think we can save that thumb. So now I can make decisions and I can unmake decisions with that thumb. Will you decree his word over your own foolishness in my case? Everything came out of his word as he decreed his words as seeds. When you plant a seed, I know a lot of you in here garden. I know a lot of you on the web garden. When I plant a seed, when a farmer plants one kernel of corn, he's not looking to get one kernel back. There's two or three or four ears on the stalk, and each of them has at least 100, if not more, kernels. That's the authority of your words. The seed you plant should be producing 100-fold, should be producing abundantly. If the whole universe came out of God, then most certainly he can create whatever we need. Oh, that takes us to a whole new level. It's not name it and claim it, but when you need something and you are in agreement with heaven, you can speak it into existence. You know you have angels waiting to do that? Now, in the case of Daniel, they may run into a principality and it may be 21 days before you get it. Most of us give up on day 20. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. No, he answered it, the angel said, the first day, but they had to fight to get the answer to you. No word of God's is empty. When you decree God's word, creative forces begin to flow. Even if what is needed does not exist, God's word can create it. He's not done creating. A lot of people say, well, God finished on day six. You show me where it says that in the scripture. The same place where you show me that there's no more apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. Well, it's not in any translation I've found yet. Asa is also the Hebrew word for execute or furnish. God's word is furnished with power to execute and bring his word to pass. That's the authority sitting in your heart that needs to come out of your mouth. God's word, when decreed by his daughters and sons in alignment with his will, becomes what it is. Bottle. I could tell you the story behind all these bottles. I know where they were invented. It was in Tennessee. Whatever it was meant to be, when you speak it, when that word from God becomes into our atmosphere, it becomes the creative force God intended it to be when he birthed it in your heart. Many of you have dreams. Many of you have visions. Many of you get these creative ideas. You need to begin to speak the word of the Lord over them so that they don't just lay on your desk as a piece of paper or in your computer as a nice drawing. They become three-dimensional with breath and life. The primitive root word for prosper is salaka. meaning to push forward, to break out, to be successful, and to be profitable. One of my favorite names for the Lord in this pay season, it's a pay name, is Adonai Peretz, meaning the Messiah, the breaker. You see that in Micah 2:13. I'm not going to get into it, but most of us use that passage wrong when we use it. It's an authoritative passage to come against witchcraft and sorcery. All the teaching of this name of the Lord reveals that there is a powerful biblical weapon the Lord has given us in our arsenal to stand against witchcraft. As witchcraft increases, guess what? He's already put the answer in his word for you and I to speak. When you decree God's word, it produces breakthrough to destroy blockages in the heavens and the earth until your decree has made good. Do you think God gets tired of you decreeing a thing? No. That's my girl. Hey, that's my boy. Because you're exercising faith to believe God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have this promise when we stand in faith and decree what God says, refusing to back off or abandon the word seed Holy Spirit gives us. When we water the seed of his word with our faith, our prayers, our praise, our confession, and our steadfast trust, that seed will produce after its kind. It becomes what it is or what it describes. My garden is flourishing right now. 2 weeks ago, I didn't think it was going to make it. But those seeds became what they were meant to be. And now they are maturing to produce what they were meant to produce. Can't wait. Never give up on a word you decree. Never give up on a word you decree. Never give up on God's word. Never. Do not negate the word God gave you. Well, maybe. It didn't happen in the last 29 minutes, so I guess God didn't really speak to me. Many of you know our testimony. 24 and a half years after the Lord asked us to stay in Rochester and he gave us a word that it would be a mighty God in hearing our cry for one of our children, as soon as we heard our daughter, who you met last week, 24 and a half years later, by the way, is about 35 minutes for God. She was almost killed in the wilderness in Montana. As soon as we heard it, we began decreeing, Lord, you said you would be a mighty God in hearing our decree, the cry of our heart for our daughter. Within 24 hours, all of her internal bleeding stopped. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Never give up. Do not negate the word he gave you. We are supposed to make decrees to break hell's grip. You're praying for an unsaved loved one. You're praying for great-grandchildren. You're praying for the next generation. Never give up on the decrees God has given you for them. You do not know when that last drop fills the bowl and God says to the angels, pour it out. And it breaks open everything in the earth. You can bring God's promises to fullness in the earth realm. Is Father in your face? When you rise up in power in the presence of Holy Spirit, who does the enemy see and hear? Let me tell you who he should hear and see and feel. The righteous roar of the Lion of Judah. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what the enemy should see because you rise up from that intimate relationship with the King of Kings and you speak his word with authority. Doesn't mean you have to shout it. But the enemy knows who has authority. Remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? Because they had no relationship with the Lord. Are you carrying the right edge for your decrees? Starting with Genesis chapter 34, verse 26, 35 times in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament is the phrase, the edge of the sword. However, this revelation is even more important in the 5780s, the pay decade, or what we know as the 2020s. Our intercession with the edge of the sword is also for important for ensuring breakthroughs are maintained. And nothing in our lineage can give place to the powers of darkness to exercise ancient curse structures against our destinies. Don't have time to get into it, but that's how the enemy works. He knows that if you don't break a curse in 3 generations and you don't break it in 4 generations, he can skip one and he can come back and blindside it and get 3 or 4 more generations for that curse structure in your bloodline. You can find strategic revelation by looking at this phrase, the edge of the sword, but in every passage, these 35 passages in the Old and 2 in the New, you find the key to the edge of the sword. In each of the passages, the English word edge is really the Hebrew word pay. The edge of the face or the mouth. The edge of the sword. The authority. It means as blowing, whether literally or figuratively, it's specifically the edge of your face carries the authority to break through what the enemy is doing. Completely unpacking the meaning for pay, you find it is his breath in your lungs. I sing that song different than most of you. I sing it with an authoritative grace to release angels to do what they were created to do. That happened in this room 2 weeks ago. And things began to change around the region when the angels went out from our worship presence. His word on your lips is the edge of the sword to annihilate, to blow away, and scatter our enemies. I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about the enemy of your soul. And to cut open the way for those aligned with us to move into and possess their promised land. Your words can open the door for people to come into the promised land. If you remember 2 years ago, I said in this decade, if you can't say anything positive, zip it. Because the enemy's going to use your words against you. I'm almost to breakthrough. Make sure you don't put a but on that. The breath or the edge of what? The sword. The word for sword is cherub. It means drought. It also means a cutting instrument with a destructive effect such as a knife, a sword, or a sharp instrument like an axe, a dagger, a mattox, or a sword. Our intercession, the edge of the sword, is sharpened by FaceTime with the Lord. Well, I'm going to FaceTime with all my friends here on earth. How much FaceTime do you have with the King of Glory? I think I challenged the men this morning out in church for that same thing. How much FaceTime do you have with the Lord? Different message. Your FaceTime with the Lord determines whether his word in you will accomplish the destruction of his enemy and the work of rebellion in the earth realm. The amount of time I spend with the Lord determines whether or not I have the authority to destroy the work of darkness that's trying to keep the harvest from coming in, trying to keep you from prospering, trying to keep Jeff and Emily from having a successful engagement in marriage. Whatever it is, you have the authority of heaven sitting on the edge of your face when you speak. Ephesians 6:17 in the New American Standard reads, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We're all familiar with this sixth piece of the former God, the Word of God. However, when you look at the Greek word Holy Spirit chose to use, which we translate as word in the English, you will need to find authority to speak for the King of Kings, which comes out even from more from FaceTime with God. The word is rhema. That's how we say it. Rama is how it's written. An utterance which comes from the Greek word rheo, to utter, to speak, to say, or to command. That's the word that we're supposed to be storing up in our hearts so the Holy Spirit can use it. Who you spend FaceTime with determines the level of authority carried by the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth against the darkness that's trying to steal your peace, kill your joy, and destroy your testimonies. Who are you going to spend face time with? The one who was, who is, and who always will be should be in your face to release the decree of abundant life over those you love. Try it. Are you ambassadors for the King of Kings? Jesus was. Do you know what this means? You've heard me say it before. You have no opinion. What's your opinion on that matter, Al? Let me check the manufacturer's handbook. Were you made in his image and likeness? You were made, manufactured. This is the manufacturer's handbook. My opinion is his word. When I can find it in his word, then I can speak with grace. All the rest is fertilizer for my garden. Did I do well, Mom? Okay. 40 years ago, it may have come out different. You have no opinion. You can only speak what he speaks when he asks you to speak. That is the key if you are a young prophet. He may give you revelation, but until he says speak, you can't release it. Because it's the word of God and the timing of God that brings the anointing of God, and it's his anointing that breaks the yoke. When we speak a word out of his timing, it's just our word. We're all familiar with the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. There's a key here that most of us miss. But before I get to that key, I wanted to tell you something. On December 29th of 2004, at around 6 in the morning, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I want you to go to the hospital today and pray for this brain dead girl and call new brain cells into her brain and call her to life. She had been brain dead for 10 days. The two top neurosurgeons on the East Coast told her parents that morning, I found out later, if they took her off life support, she would be dead. There was no hope. There was nothing they could do for her. Long story short, because I was leading 300 intercessors for a youth conference, which was in its final night, and 500 teenagers gave their life to the Lord that night. We didn't get up there until 10:45 at night. It was still the 29th of December. It was not my chosen time. Long story short, when the nurse in the ICU saw 8 of us walking in, number new beginning. I was just going to go by myself, but you know, sometimes you got to have witnesses. Well, they all wanted to come. They're all standing around the bed praying like this. Oh, dear God, if you would, we know you can. You know, you can't see a miracle when your eyes are closed. Watch and pray. That's what it means. Because there was nothing they could do, they hadn't set any of her bones. She had been thrown through the windshield of a car. There was a young woman standing next to me, had her hand on the ankle, and just below the knee, I had my hand just above the knee and on her shoulder. And when it got to me, I commanded, rather meekly and whispering, bones come together. She rose 2 inches off the bed. Her bones shot out. The woman next to me with her eyes closed let a loud shriek, and I'm going to save your ears on the internet. Now everyone's eyes were open. She had shown no sign of life, and we commanded new brain cells into her brain, commanded life to come back into her body. For 10 days, no signs of life, nothing, just the machine up and down. And the person next to me whispered into her ear, remember the word of God in your heart, and a tear came trickling down her cheek. 3 days later, her eyes were open. They took the tube out a week later. In June of 2005, she walked from the first base dugout at Frontier Field to the shortstop position on a platform at another youth event and gave her testimony of an angel coming into her room and healing her. Now, you know the rest of the story. That's the Valley of Dry Bones. When he tells you to do something, will you do it? The key is we prophesy for Holy Spirit. He put the word in you to speak. You're prophesying for Holy Spirit, not by Holy Spirit. Got to get over that religious mindset. When you have an intimate relationship with the Father, you are his Aaron. You are his Moses. You are his Joshua. You are his Ruth. You are his Esther. You are his child with the authority of heaven on your voice. Because we have spent face time with God, when he tells you, you prophesy to Holy Spirit for God and miracles happen. Jesus spoke and the storm stopped. Why? Because Father told him, speak to the storm. When he tells you speak to the storm, don't say, well, I hope so, Lord. I want to leave you with a few pay phrases to help launch you further into Father's presence in this decade that we're in. When we are in Father's face and allow him to be in our face, that means I got to take time to come into his face and invite him into mine. Not this, dear God, I got a busy schedule today. I got all this stuff in case he wants me to do this on the way home. I'll see you tomorrow. He wants time. If he's first in rank, order, priority, and time, I can give him a couple extra minutes. As much as he wants. When you allow him to be in your face, your intercession takes the authority of heaven on in the earth. You see that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. In Numbers 21:7 in the New American Standard, we read, so when the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you, intercede with the Lord so he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. The word, the Hebrew word translated as intercede and interceded is the Hebrew word palal. A pay word. It's a primitive root word meaning to judge officially and mentally, by extension to intercede, to pray, to entreat, to judge, or to make supplication. That's what our intercession should be. Moses' FaceTime with the Lord released the authority of God in Moses' intercession to judge and to stop the plague of deadly serpents. You can stop plagues. Is God a respecter of persons? No. Moses didn't have the Holy Spirit. You do. We've got everything they had plus greater grace through the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the infilling continually of his Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 59:16 in the New American Standard, we read, and he saw there was no man, and was astonished there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. The Hebrew word translated intercede here is the pay word paga, P-A-G-A. It's a primitive word meaning to impinge by accident or violence, like impinge, drive something through it. To fall on, attack, impale an enemy, to come between, to make intercession, an intercessor, to meet and to pray together. As an ambassador for the King of Kings, spending face time with him on behalf of others, you are part of the enforcers of Yeshua's victory at Calvary for them. Amen. You can bring heaven to earth for those unsaved people. Amen. Oh, just think of the harvest that's coming. We stand in covenant with them in Christ's authority, warring from his victory for their breakthrough. You know, when you make it about God in their lives, all of a sudden, all we are is an ambassador. It's not about me. It's not about my stuff. It's not about me, mine, and mine. It's, Father, let your will be done. I think Jesus taught us to pray that way. While this is not a pay word, your face time with God releases in your authority, in your voice, the authority to decree a thing. Do we really understand the authority Father, Holy Spirit, and Son impart to us with, from FaceTime with them? In Job 22:28, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine on your ways. That's the authority we have. To hear what he's saying, to decree it into the earth realm, and God says, it is. Because you spoke it in agreement with heaven, it is. The word decree used here in Hebrew is gazar, G-A-Z-A-R. It's a primitive root meaning to cut down or cut off, to destroy, to exclude, or to decide, to decree, to divide, and to snatch. You have authority to completely destroy the work of the enemy. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. And he already made a public spectacle, Colossians chapter 2, of every one of the enemy through his cross. Finally, the Hebrew word for face is always used in the plural. It's a plural word always used in the singular. It's panim, that's the plural. But it's always used as the singular for your face. It's the face, as we started, the part which turns. The edge, favor. Do you have the passion David had to be in Father's face? David wanted nothing else other than to please Daddy. Psalm 27, 8 and 9 said, I heard your voice in my heart say, come seek my face. My inner being responded, Yahweh, I am seeking your face with all my heart. So do not turn your face away from me. You are my God, the God of my salvation. How can you reject your servant in anger? You have been my only hope. Do not forsake me now when I need you. The Passion Translation. We've had the blessing of having our family with us the past week and having our granddaughter with us 4 days this week before she went to camp. I'm going to ask you all to stand up. The last thing my children heard from me every night and the last thing our granddaughter heard every night was the Aaronic blessing, the one that was danced over us at the end of last week's service. Every night, it was the last thing I said over them. Tomorrow when I write to our daughter, it will be the last thing written in the note. But I'm going to read it a little bit differently to you tonight and then make a declaration over you. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you, turn his face toward you when you call him, so you see his eyes and know his ears are attuned to your voice, and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. I declare over you your time invested with Father face to face with Holy Spirit and Son will exponentially increase the authority of his voice in and through your life, and you will prosper as your soul prospers coming out of intimate relation with him. Father, I send your sons and daughters to go to carry your voice to release the word you've given them and to see your fruit manifest on their behalf. In Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a very blessed week.